running, just the picture hasn't come up yet.
I think it's picking up, ain't it?
It's your picture.
You got your volume up on that puppy, don't you? It's just humming away.
Might not be too good on the old ears. There it is.
You're just coming, Daniel. You want any pie?
No, I'm good, thank you. Daniel can try it.
She can kiss me if she wants to know what it tastes like.
Okay, we are up and running. I am going to get this up here while people are coming on. Good to see you this morning. I know it's a Saturday morning, but I am actually traveling to the farm this afternoon, and Joe and I will be at the farm till Tuesday evening. And so I wanted to, I've been missing so much playing hooky on you guys that I thought, well, I'll do one on a Saturday morning. And that's something maybe I'll talk to you about in just a second, but I think I'm going to kind of go to, I will announce when we're having it because of the way Alan's back into working three jobs, and which is these summer months, and then with everything else that goes on, most of the time Joe is off Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays. So I decided that maybe I'll go with these by announcement, and I will announce, and it may be like this: a Saturday morning or a Friday night. Or, you know, if I'm not traveling and we don't go to the farm, maybe it's Sunday mornings. But I will announce it well ahead of time and make sure that everyone knows when it's going to be. But it may not be like every Sunday morning be on here. I will announce when it'll be. So this morning, I've had a very good week. I am feeling much better, and things are healing. And just went through three doctor's appointments this week, and all of them are saying just amazing how fast I'm healing, and it's just a real blessing. So last weekend, for a little while, we talked about spiritual and natural selection. Now, you know how you feel sometimes when you talk to somebody and you get away from them, you think, wow, I didn't get my point across, or I didn't, you know. And last weekend, I felt like my strong point that I really wanted to try and bring out is this whole concept of we are doing things in the spiritual. And like a resurrection, we've been resurrected spiritually, but we're waiting on a physical happening, and we're not. My entire point of spiritual and natural selection is whatever you choose in the spiritual, it is simultaneous that it's going to immediately begin to affect and bring the natural up to the level of the resurrection in the spiritual. So many times through the scripture we've seen that happen, and that was what I was trying to get across. And then the fact that when you make those selections, just keep in mind what you're doing, because they affect you. They affect you not only spiritually, but physically. And just keep in mind what you're doing, because it's going to show itself. So this morning I wanted to talk just a little bit on the observer within. And the reason I titled it that is because that's what you need to become. If you're not doing that now, you need to become that. And there's a scripture that Paul wrote that I really like. Kind of matches in with what I'm saying, the observer within. An observer is somebody that is not participating. They are observing and they are watching. And then you make your spiritual selection after observing. Now, the real issue with a lot of people is they don't observe and they just make a selection. And then there's a whole lot of chaos that ends up in their life, because what you select spiritually will physically manifest itself in your life here. So the greatest thing that you can do for yourself is become an observer. And that observer, you are that person within. You stay unattached to so many things, and you're doing two things that way. You are, if something changes, you are keeping yourself in a position to remain strong and happy and independent. Whereas if you get attached and something happens, then you're going down a path of sorrow and weakness and pain and anger and everything else that comes with it, because what you had yourself attached to, you lost. So observing is a great, great thing, it's really what we came here to do. In Ephesians 1 and 17, Paul was talking. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being open. That's an observer from within. Eyes of understanding, not two eyes in your head. The eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So through observing and using the eyes of understanding, you'll begin to gain wisdom and knowledge and revelation, and you'll begin to understand through those eyes of understanding from within. You'll become very enlightened about things, and you will know what is the hope of your age, the things that are supposed to happen in your age, and what part you play in it, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are. You will understand what you are inheriting from what you are observing. You observe, you select, and then your spiritual being changes and sorts out that selection, and you put it on physically, because this is what you're observing. Mm-hmm. The physical actions, the physical walks, the spiritual things that you hear and see, you're observing those. I chose to discuss our thoughts and our ideas on this form of life that we've entered in for a time. We're here. And I wanted to take a few minutes, because we just talked about spiritual and natural selection, to say what you're choosing in your thoughts and your ideas in this form of life might not be the same in the next form. But in this form, what you're choosing with your thoughts and ideas, you become. And so we've entered this for a time, and I titled it The Observer Within. I want to show why it's important for you to be an observer and do as we spoke in the last session, making choices through natural selection, through spiritual selection, making these choices. We talked on spiritual and natural selection. When we become the observer of what is occurring around us, in the in the world, in nations around us, in our families, in our personal life, when we become the observer of what is occurring in our presence and in our moment, then we can make the needed selection for our life. You know, I can look at the politics and I've made a needed selection in my life. I want nothing to do with it, with this present administration. Love them, pray for them every day, but I don't have to participate in it. I am an observer of that. I am not attached whatsoever to the present political system. So when something bad happens, it doesn't affect me. I'm an observer and I say, wow, look at that. Mm-hmm. Didn't they pay the price?
Yep.
If something good happens, I say, great. It doesn't make me happy or sad, mad or glad in any way, because I have detached myself from that system. And so you can make needed selections in your life. You can be happy, you can be pure, you can be clean, you can be holy, you can be all these things by just watching and being an observer. You are inside this body. This body is yours. And it's a piece of the earth. The earth is the body of the Spirit. And where we were at, we came from a theophonic world, theophanies. We came from that world, and theophany is a frequency, and it is a dimension. And we here in our intellect, through Moses and through the prophets and things like that, and through science, we here in this world call that theophany world that we came from to get into this human world, we call it a logos. Logos, if you look up the Greek word for logos, it is word. So we came from a frequency and a dimension that was called logos, and that frequency is word. Mm-hmm. Now, it's that dimension is word, period. That's what it is. And I'm not talking about a Bible. I'm not talking about a book. It's word. We're not speaking of Bible or book, but I'm speaking of a desire, attributes that were in us and manifesting in the dimensional world of the word. We had desires. In that form, we couldn't truly know anything. We had knowledge, but knowledge is not knowing. Mm-hmm. And in that form, we couldn't truly know anything. Only by logos, by the word, could we think about and discuss the attributes of the word. That's all we knew. And dimensionally, we were actually two-dimensional. We were theophany, word, in space. Time wasn't even there. We hadn't started measuring any time or any of those things. So we were actually a two-dimensional being of word, and we were, of course, in space, and we weren't using any of the other dimensions. We weren't filtering ourselves through any other dimensions. We were the word. We couldn't express many of the attributes that were within us because of the dimensions that we were dwelling in. You couldn't express humanity in a theophany dimension. You couldn't do it because humanity has too many things within it outside of theophany, outside of the word. And what we did when we came from theophany and we created this world that we created and moved into it, we immediately, with our theophany word mind, thought that we were going to regulate and formulate and construct a world of theophany. And it's not a world of theophany. And you can't live in this world if you think you're going to go by the theophany. because what you are in is outside of it. What you are in is other dimensions that the theophany never used and had no idea what it was about. As long as we remained in those dimensional boundaries, sixth dimension, second dimension, or first dimension, there just wasn't any of the other dimensions that we were moving in and doing things. As long as we remained in those dimensional boundaries and frequencies, we were the Word. But the attributes of humanity couldn't be opened there. We couldn't be young. You know, in a theophany world, what's young?
Yeah, right.
You know, you've been there 1 million years, 2 million, 6 million, 8 million. People that are 1 million years old are young. People that are 6 million years old are old. No, there's no old, there's no young.
Yeah, right.
There's no formation. Somebody 10,000 years old must be a baby. No, there was no old or young or any of those concepts about humanity. You couldn't be old, you couldn't be young. You couldn't grow. I mean, in a theophany realm, I say, wow, Daniel, you've grown a lot over the last 10 years and you look exactly the way you did 1 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't grow. You couldn't. The dimensions of old and young and growth and any of those things we could not express. And Brother Branham, when he seen into that theophany realm, and me, when I seen in that theophany realm, they were all the same. Same age, women all pretty much the same, men all pretty much the same. And we say, what a superb place, we want to go there. Well, we left there. They're only there temporarily while this is unfolding. And then they want to put this back on. That's what this is about. We opened up another half of our very being. Mm-hmm. We are a whole being, and theophany was only half of that being. Mm-hmm. So here we are. We couldn't be family. I say, Alan, you're my brother. You say, that's good. What's that? Wow, you're black. Oh, really? What are you? Pink? Orange? Green? It meant nothing. You couldn't live in that world of difference. Theophany is the Word, and that's it, the Logos. You couldn't come to those differences and be able to accept those differences about yourself and others. We couldn't get sick or die. Die? What are you talking about? You get up in the morning and say, I'm sick. And everybody in the theophany world said, what in the world are they talking about? What's that? It didn't happen. It just didn't happen. Experiences, all these things that we're having, we couldn't get sick or die or experience the depths of anything. Now, we were alive. We were well. We were in a theophany realm. But we also knew that was not all of us. And we wanted to understand all of us. We couldn't experience the depths of anything. Happiness. So I was happy there. Really? What made you happy? Did you have something happen to you sad that made you happy in the theophany world? Did somebody die? Was somebody born and you said, hallelujah, we got a brand new baby? It didn't happen there. It just didn't happen. We couldn't experience the depths of happiness, love, care, oneness. We were one, but we were one in such a way of sameness. See, we could say we're one, but we couldn't express the depths of that oneness, that love, that care, that understanding. We couldn't express the depths of it. The way Brother Branham said about the seals, he said, you know, when the seals open, he said, if you don't understand, or if you look at these things and you don't understand why it's open, he said, even though it's open to you, there still remains a secret. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you were in the theophany. Even though you knew all things, even though you were there and you had the knowledge of all of humanity, that attribute that was laying inside you, there was still a secret unopened that you could not handle or do or partake in while you were there in theophany. So we had a lot in one half of us that we were opening up, but there was still another half of us that hadn't even opened, and that was humanity. Everything that humanity brought to us is an opening into heights and depths, breadths, widths. We had the construct, but we didn't go into those things. We had humanity in us. We had the attribute in us. It was a part of us, but we couldn't reach into the depths of humanity living in a theophany body, in a theophany world, because inside of humanity was iniquity. Inside humanity was things that I just mentioned, old and young and dying and sick and babies and families. And inside humanity were things that you could not do or know the depths of in theophany. Look at what Paul says, that this world and these dimensions and frequencies are all about. Paul says we are to be filled with the fullness of God. Now, I'll just be honest, you couldn't do that in the theophany, because humanity is God. We came here to be gods. Mm-hmm. We weren't gods there. We came here. Mm-hmm. And Paul said that we were to be filled with the fullness of God. We were to open all the attributes beyond the Logos. That's what Paul is saying. We are to move beyond the Word. We're to move beyond that half that we've been living for millions of years. We're moving beyond that. We're going to open all the attributes beyond the Logos, and it's here Paul makes the statement that we will comprehend. We'll comprehend breadth and length and depth and height of our beings. Everything that we are, that's why I've said connect yourself, because everything that we are experiencing is depth and breadth and height and length of our very beings. This is who we are. These trees are me. These squirrels are me. These birds are me. This is me. Everything here that I experience, my family, my loved ones, my friends, my everything I eat, everything I drink, it's all me, and I'm experiencing my being. And so when we understand that, let's look what Paul said in the third chapter of Ephesians. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he would grant us to gain strength in the inner man. And then he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Listen, you were not rooted and grounded in love back there. You had a general knowledge, but you had not opened up the secret. You had not come to the full depths of what these things are. So Paul is talking about there's something you're going to do here, and that is you're going to be filled with the fullness of God, or you are going to understand the other half of you that you have never understood when you were over there in the theophany world, dwelling in that manner. The Christ that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. We couldn't do that before now, before this world, before humanity. We came into understanding the breadths, the depths, the heights, everything. We did it through processes. That's how we did it. We opened ourselves up to humanity, which is full of growth and processes and maturity and immaturity and young and old and live and die. Humanity was full of all those processes, and it was through the processes that we were going to come into the fullness of God within us, and we were going to become gods ourselves. And it was through this Christ that was going to dwell in us that we would start comprehending the depths, the heights, and the breadth, and the length, and the width. We would begin to open up not the general knowledge of these things, but we would begin to open up the secret of these things and go into the really deep depths. And we couldn't do it in that present form of theophany. We had to build something. We had to build something and then do exactly the way Brother Branham said in the unveiling of God. He said Jesus was not a part of God. He said, don't get me wrong. Jesus was not a part of God. He said, and he used a word, and I forget the word, but anyhow, he said, it means that the Spirit poured all of itself into Jesus, and Jesus became God. That's what you and I are doing. It's not a matter of Don Parnell sitting here and he's a part of God, and Alan's a part of God, and Daniel's a part of God, and Joe Gomez is a part of God. That's not what it is. The Spirit created a body, and then he poured himself into it and became. This vessel is me. It's not a separate part of me. It's not this. It's not something that I look at. It is a vehicle, and I am in here. The Spirit is in here as an observer of everything we or me or I or whatever you want to call it. We're experiencing everything as an observer, and then we're choosing through spiritual selection exactly what we want our physical being to be like, walk like, act like, talk like, the things we want to know. We are doing this as an observer. To know the love of Christ. Listen to him. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ. You didn't know it before. We came here, put this on, created it, poured ourselves into it to know the love of Christ, to know the love of anointing, to know the love of a being that was just half expressed. And we came here to express the other half. One half is theophany, the other half is humanity, and it's not two different things. It is one being. It is one person, and we were only expressing a half of that person, and we came here to express the other half and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Which passeth knowledge. Let me read it like this. We came here to feel and know the love of the experiences of us being Christ, and we passed the theophany, which passeth knowledge. That's what the theophany was, logos. We came past the logos. We came past the theophany. We moved beyond the knowledge. We put on Christ. We became the Christ. We began to understand the love, the care, the peace, the knowledge. We began to understand the rain. We began to understand the storm. We began to understand youth and old and dying and growing and maturing and immature. We begin to understand all of these things in our life through passing knowledge, getting past the theophany world, coming here and realizing that we weren't going to live in this earth as a theophany and get by very well. We weren't going to be able to come up to our theophany expression. We weren't going to be able to satisfy ourselves as a theophany. We needed to combine the two or merge the two together and become something past and beyond the theophany, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Or let me put it like this, that you might be filled with the fullness of being God. That you might have the feeling of God. That you might have the feeling in spirit the way that the spirit feels you feel. When you see something dying, that little bird or that little baby or that older person that you've lived with for 50 years, that you might feel the oneness, the real oneness of how the spirit feels when he sees those things, when it sees those things going on. And then we come further into the full knowledge of God. After we felt all of those things, we passed all of those things and came to the understanding that that squirrel going across that fence out there will never die. And Alan and all of us sitting here and all of you that are listening out there will never die. And there's no fear in changing forms. And none of us are dying in the manner we think we're dying. But we are just changing forms and we're moving on into other manifestations, other worlds, other ways of being. And we're moving on to other parts of whatever it is that we are and gaining our experiences. So we come to a point to where we pass all the human knowledge of what goes on in this earth. Death, politics, government, religion, slaughter, murdering. We surpass all of those things. Sure, it's still going on, but we've come to the fullness of God. We realize that they are not going anywhere. They are here dimensionally, and they may disappear here dimensionally, but at some point, they're going to reappear. Mm-hmm. And so we come to this understanding. We come to the understanding that exactly what Jesus was and is what we are. We are embodied. The body is us, and we are embodied with the fullness of God, or the complete understanding of God, the complete understanding of worship, the complete understanding of life, the complete understanding of death, the complete understanding of humanity, and the complete understanding of theophany. We come to these things in our life, and we begin to be the Messiah. We begin to be a person who is doing what needs to be done to help others come to the same purpose, the same understanding, the same thing. Isaiah said, "And there shall come forth a root out of the stem of Jesse." We know that's, listen to me, that's a person coming from a theophany world into a present humanity world. A root coming forth from the stem of Jesse, or Jesus, or David. David came forth that way. through Jesse's body and out and begin to walk in the world in his own body, in his own earth, in his own embodiment, in his own spirit, and he became who he was. And we see here, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So David comes out of the stem of Jesse, and then Jesus grows out of David. And we see this, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Listen to me. You were in a theophany world, and you came out of the root of whoever your mother and father was. And when you came out and you became a person walking and living and being in earth, you became an observer. You became a person looking and walking at everything. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon you. It's upon you right now. It's not just Jesus. It's not just David. It's us. It is humanity, and it's resting upon us. And what we are doing here is we are observing all things so that we can bring in every other world that we've been in, so we can bring it in and recognize and become a full being, become a full person, become the fullness of God. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is the things that I'm... Get it out of your head that I'm reading about Jesus. I'm reading about you. Mm-hmm. I'm reading about me. We're full of the counsel of the Lord, his might, his strength, its spirit. We are the Lord himself, and shall make him of a quick understanding. If you think you're not manifesting this, think about where you were at just a few years ago and where you're at today. Mm-hmm. Think about where we were at when the seals opened. Just think about that. I don't even know what to call it, rudimental age of Pentecost. Just think about that. And look at where we're standing today in a generation. We've come so far, and I shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and not judge after the sight of the eyes. We've come to that point. A lot of the world has not yet, but you and I have come to the point we don't judge with these eyes. When I see someone, I'd do my best to be an observer. Just observe. Just listen. See where his or her ego is at. See where their knowledge is at. See what they are as far as a character and a being. And then as you make that assessment, make a decision based on their actions and their attitudes. Make a decision whether you want to be a part of trying to bring that along, or whether you want to move on to something else, or if you find that they just have a lot of things you need, mm-hmm. and you want to become a part of them. And you make all of these decisions because you're not using these eyes, you're using the eyes of your understanding. And he shall judge not after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Whatever you hear and the things that you see, leave it alone. That's what it's saying. Leave it alone and don't get attached to it, and be an observer. And then you help it move along, or if it's more than you at the present time have, you help yourself adjust to where they're at. And you just keep moving in such a manner, and you don't do it by what you hear, and you don't do it by your eyes of understanding, or your eyes of the flesh. You do it through the eyes of your understanding. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth as you're speaking. How many of you knows what the rod is? Just read when the Bible in the 12th chapter of Revelations and back in the Old Testament when they're speaking of a rod, it is a human body. It is iron. And the human body is made up mostly of that element. And so we shall rule the world with a rod of iron. We shall walk in the world in a human body, and we will do these things. We shall smite the earth. Smiting just means changing. It don't mean going out there and killing this and killing that. Smite just means to change. We shall begin to walk in the earth, not reprove with our natural eyes, not understand with our natural eyes, but walk in our eyes of understanding and not pay much attention to what you're hearing with the natural ear or what you're seeing with a natural eye, but we will begin to walk and smite the earth with a rod, with our speech, rod that's coming out of our mouth. We will begin to speak human speech. We'll begin to talk human. We'll begin to walk human. We'll begin to be human. And we'll begin to bring humanity along by understanding with the third eye, with the eye on the inside of who we are. We'll change the earth with the rod of our mouths, and with the breath of our lips shall we slay the wicked. Yeah, we're going to go out there on white horses and swords and we're going to slay the wicked. No. All that means is we're going to change them. We're going to bring them new life. We're going to bring them an understanding. And we are going to change humanity. I was talking with my wife the other day, and we were kind of talking about the politics and how we don't like where it's at. And I said, you know, I look at the world today, and it, you know, in my mind, I think about it being chaos. But I said, just go back through humanity. Just think about all the wars and the competition and the slaughtering and the nations and the killing and the Napoleons and the Hitlers and the Alexanders and the Romans and the, you know, you just start thinking about it. This world has come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
This world has come a long way. And you may look at it and say, oh, Brother Parnell, you just don't live where I'm at. I've been all over the world. And when I think back across time and I bring it up to now, this world and humanity has moved a long way in the direction that it needs to. And there's no doubt in my mind that it needs to move a whole lot more. But don't think that we're not making a change. Mm-hmm. Don't think that it's worse than it was. Oh, there's so much of this and that out there. There's pedophilia. There's the cabal. There's this and there's that. They're nothing to what was in times past. They have no control compared to what was in times past when you had popes and Holy Roman Empires and emperors and everything else, and they slaughtered and they killed everything that wasn't what they were. We're not there today. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have some bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
But do you hold enough of the fullness of God, of the fullness of the Spirit? Have you become the God that you ought to be, that you can look through the eyes of understanding and purify and keep speaking with the rod of your mouth and keep smiting the wicked, or in other words, changing the wicked, changing their ways, changing their ideas, bringing what needs to be brought into the atmosphere to change the world? You do that one at a time. I can't change everyone, but I can change me, and I can help people change. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. What is that saying? We are going to wake up and become one with ourselves. Animals are always emblems of humans. So it's saying that these humans who now seem to act like leopards and lions and destroy this and that, we are going to, with the word of our mouth, with the logos of our mouth, we will smite and begin to change the world. And we will change people. We will change humanity to where it will walk together. It will lie down together. It will love one another. We are doing this. And that's what this is about. You say, oh, I can't wait till the lion lays down with the lamb. They're doing that now, whether you know it or not. Have you taken the time to look on the internet at all the animals that love one another? Sure, there's some other things that go on in food chains and everything else, but that is already happening. This ain't talking about animals. This mm-hmm. is talking about you and me. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, Brother Parnell, you can't say that animals are human, or they're a type of the human race. Well, you know, Brother Branham said that those people in the age of that age of the ox, he said they sacrificed themselves mm-hmm. as oxes. They gave themselves. Mm-hmm. Peter was laying upstairs, and he had a vision, and he seen every four-footed beast. He seen every animal, clean and unclean, and dropped down in the vision. And the Lord said, Peter, eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I've not eaten anything unclean. I've done all the things Moses told me to do. I'm not going to eat these things. And the Lord told him, he said, go to Cornelius' house. He's a Gentile. And you eat, and you do the things you need to do with him. And Peter said, I can't do this. He's unclean. He's a Gentile. And the Spirit said, don't you call unclean what I have cleaned. And he showed him all the peoples of the earth. That's who it was. Mm-hmm. All the peoples of the earth. All the animals are types and symbols of the peoples and the humanity of the earth. And this is talking about us joining together, loving one another, laying down together, coming to the same understanding, walking with our understanding, and being like a little child. You shall not enter the kingdom of God except you become as a little child. A little child is leading them. When we enter the kingdom of God, it's not talking about a little baby walking around in diapers leading lions. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about us. Mm-hmm. As we become humble, we become real, we become who we know we are. We become the other half. We become human. And we begin to walk together and love one another. And as a little child, or as having a spirit of love and care and desire and attitude and wanting to move and know more and live together in love and peace, we become that. Mm-hmm. That's what this is talking about. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp. Everybody always reads the 11th chapter of Genesis or of Isaiah, and they say, that's the millennial reign. It's going to come a time when all the animals, there's going to be peace in the valley for me, and all the animals are going to live together, and they're going to be sweet and nice. And that's not what it's talking about. The suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Well, I didn't think snakes was going to be in the millennium. Everybody talks about snakes, the devil, Satan, all these things. I just got something the other day from a brother. He said, hey, he said, you, all you're doing, you're just a universalist, Brother Parnell. That's all you are. You believe Satan and all those are going to be saved, the demons and everything. Yeah. I said, I have never taught ever that Satan was going to be saved. Satan can't be saved. He said, well, I've listened to you teach. You teach that everything's going to be there. It's going to change forms. It's going to morph, it's going to transform, and everybody's going to be there. I said, Satan ain't a person. Satan can't go there because Satan is a process. Mm-hmm. Satan is not a being. Satan is not going in to glory in the manner that you think. Satan is processes. It is the things that we go through. It is the growth. It is the all of those things. And we are going to take a part of Satan with us into eternity. And the part that we're taking into eternity with us is the growth, the understanding, mm-hmm. the moving through processes. And even though the stalk and all of those things, the blade and the tassel, even though it's going to perish, the life is going to keep right on going through, and we are going to carry everything we learned from Satan. Because Satan is a process. And we learn a lot from processes. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. That's where we're moving. How do we get there, Brother Parnell? Atori, how's it happen? Become an observer. Become a person that observes all things and brings it all together as one and purifies it in your eyes of understanding, and become a person who smites and speaks and changes spirits and things that are not where they should be. Because this world can put you out of sync. And it's our place to help people become one. Mm-hmm. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious upon them. Everyone, you know what a Gentile is? Jews, everyone is a Gentile. And the rest and the love and the spirit shall be upon the Gentiles. Every human being walking mm-hmm. in the earth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, begin to bring his people back to where they should be. And listen to the remnant of his people, in case you think they're all going away. They shall come from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the seas. The whole world, people. It's all forming to bring the entire earth into a oneness. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And the envy also of Ephraim shall depart. You know who we taught Ephraim? Ephraim is where the Messiah came from. And the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. We're watching everything become one. Everything. They come from Moab. They come from Edom. They come from Shinar. You know Shinar is, if you go back and you read, all of these different people that we thought were no good and lost, they're all coming back. They're all going to put on earth. They're all walking inside us right now. And at some point, they will put on earth again and live right here. Thank you for agreeing to appear in earth during this time of great spiritual expansion. We've talked about it before when we sat over there. We said, hey, you know, I think I'd like to go with you. We can do good. We can do a whole lot of things. We can affect the world. I'd like to step in humanity in this age with you. Mm-hmm. Many agreements to what we would move here for. Thank you for appearing. and the earth, and during this time of great spiritual expansion and terrible illusion. It's nobility that brought you here. Mm-hmm. You had so many choices, and you chose here and now, in the present moment. I love you for that. Love bless you. This ain't an easy world. We surrounded ourselves with logos. We were shrouded in the spirit of the word. We then chose to pull back that hedge. You know where you've read that before? In the book of Job. There was a hedge about him. Nothing could touch him. That was you in the theophany realm. There was a hedge about you. You were shrouded in theophany, and nothing could touch you. No process. In other words, there was Satan, and there was the Spirit of the Lord. And no process could touch you. No process could take you into a beginning and an end. No process could make you a baby and grow old and die. No process could make you sick. None of those things could happen to you. You were wrapped about and shrouded in a hedge. When we then chose to pull back the hedge that had humanity shrouded. Humanity was on the inside, an attribute. And allow the attributes to come out. And then Satan said, just like the earth says, just like the grass says, I'm coming back. Just like the tree says, it's time to bud. Just like the old winter storm says, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to put it all back in the ground. Just like the intelligence of the sap says, it's time to go back in the ground. And the intelligence says it's time to come back. Satan's just a process. And Satan says, you give me a little room. You let me start my processes on these people and you'll find out what they'll do. You let me open up humanity and you let me bring the processes and you let me take them to beginnings and endings, and I mean endings. And you let me take them to the points of death. And you let me take them through death. I promise you this one thing. They'll not make it through my processes. They'll not make it through my horses. They'll not make it through my perishing elements. They'll not make it through anything. They will not. I will destroy them. And the Holy Spirit said, game on. Okay, that's what we'll do. And he pulled back the theophany, and he pushed out the human form, and we begin to walk in this world with a mind like we had, but it wouldn't live here. It couldn't live here. It couldn't walk here. It couldn't do the things here. And we had to develop form and shape into the processes in order to overcome it. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at right now. And we have overcome the processes of the devil. Mm-hmm. We've overcome the processes of Satan. Job did it. Abraham did it. Abraham, look at him. He had two halves to him. Abraham had Ishmael and the 12 sons of Ishmael. And we all look at them and say, what a horrible bunch that was. They was dukes and mean and done everything under the sun. And Abraham had his other half, Isaac and his 12 sons. Mm-hmm. And these 24 sons, grandchildren, raised up in the earth and to reveal to us what was going to happen. But when the whole person came, this half and this half, and they don't want to blend together. The theophany don't want to be human, and the human don't want to be the theophany. And here they are fighting and fighting and fighting one another. And just in the last few years, with the Trump administration, were they able to start bringing in so much peace and so much understanding among one another. And it's not working too good now. It didn't take just a few months. We got bombs going off here and bombs going off there and people slaughter one another and everything else in the Middle East. But the Middle East is our sign. It is an emblem of the two halves coming together and living as a whole. And it's going to happen. It might not be for 100 years, 200, 300, 1,000. I don't know how long. But the two halves, we have already did it. Mm-hmm. The female is here. The two halves are here. And we are living together. And we are walking together. And we are bringing these things and understanding. We are where the attributes of humanity and its process can affect us for a season. Satan said, give me access and I will destroy. And he did. The process destroyed us and made us something else. Mm-hmm. Formed us into something besides a theophany. It did exactly what it said it would do. He said, I'll destroy him. The Spirit used the attributes of process and growth, beginning and end, maturity and immaturity, to break out of the boundaries of the Logos, to break out of the boundaries of the Word, and to become something greater. We didn't come here to become less than the Word. We came here to become more than the Word. And that's what we're doing. The Spirit uses the attributes, the process, the growth, and beginnings and endings to break outside of the boundaries of the Logos and form a society and a civilization beyond the Word. And you know what that does? You know what it does when you free a person in such a manner? Look at those that were walking in the Third Testament and in the Message folk, and some of you came out of Pentecost. Look at what it did to you when we just said you're free. Mm-hmm. And we broke the boundaries off of that. Many of you, you know, you took a long, huge, round road. You wasn't no jet making the turn. You was a 747. And you went way out there. And somebody said, Brother Parnell, you got to draw this back in. You told the people to be free, and look at what you're causing. And I told them, I said, I'm not drawing nothing back in. They are free. And no matter how far they fly, they will come to an understanding of who they are, what they are, and they will stabilize, and they will make it through the process that's already been proven. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what happened when we set people free. You just be yourself. Mm-hmm. You be yourself. And you love one another. And you become a society beyond theophany. And a civilization beyond the world of theophany. You become one. In a difference. In individual entities. In a human world. You become one with one another. As an observer, you can make the very best spiritual and natural selection. As an observer, you can do the things that will take you so much further than where those decisions and paths that you may choose that'll run you this way or that way. Every path is there. As an observer, you can take them all. What shall you do with this Jesus called Christ? It's yours. What shall you do, Job? What shall you do, Abraham? What shall you do, Jesus? You are the observer. What must we do? Mm-hmm. We must come to a oneness and bring this world to where we want it to be, to live. Mm-hmm. Amen. Is there anything anybody has to say?
Very good. Very good.
We love you. I know I cut it off a little short. I wanted to. Last week, after I was finished, I slept about a whole day. And I don't want to do that again. It just got to me just a little bit. But I feel good today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Be the observer. Detach yourself. unattach yourself so that when things happen, you can make the best choices without the pressure, and you can make the choices that will take you further in your understanding and in your processes, in healing and everything that there is. Love bless you.